Morning, everybody. You know, Phil, that story is one I go back to, that whole board. I go back to that a lot, not only in remembering it for you, but remembering it for me. The beautiful thing about that is not just some concept that I, you know, just came out of thin air, right? The Lord gave me that for you, but he gave it to all of us. He gave it to us in his word, because it says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances against us. I mean, that is where that comes from. And it's a beautiful thing. If you find yourself stuck, you find yourself just not knowing what to do, sort of stymied, just in the miry clay, and all the weight and the sin and all that, gosh, you're short, Phil. All the weight and the sin and all that stuff that just locks your feet where you don't think you can move. Well, all of that's a lie. All of it's a lie. I want to talk this morning a little bit about your perception of who God is at an individual level. Who do you think God is? What kind of character does he have? Because see, if you understand and you believe and you accept and you embrace that we serve a loving, caring, compassionate God, then you will receive that he blots out the handwriting of ordinances against us. You're going to receive that. You're going to accept that. You're going to grab hold of it, and you're not going to let anything move you from that. Amen? But if your understanding or your thought about God as being a jerk, see, that's when you're going to stay in the miry clay. And I don't think people understand that that's really what's happening. Remember Lisa sitting on the couch? You remember, her head spun around, almost literally. But you remember sitting on the couch about, does Jesus love you? Remember that? You know, I wonder sometimes if people really get that. Really get it. You know, I have a child. I love my child. Does she please me all the time? No. In fact, I'm thrilled when she does happen to please me. Most of the time, I feel like I'm playing referee, constantly trying to keep her in the goal line, you know, trying to keep her in the field. You know, she wants to run here, run there, constantly going out of bounds all the time. I feel like I'm just trying to hook her back into play all the time. So when she does please me, I'm thrilled. But it doesn't mean I ever stop loving her. I think, unfortunately, we're a lot like that in the Lord. I mean, we're constantly going out of bounds. And, you know, he's got his referees and his line guys that keep pushing us back in if we'll hear it. You know, if we'll receive it. And our perception of God gets skewed along the way because we allow the world, we allow our flesh, we allow all kinds of things, and we forget the most sure thing, which is what? God's Word. I think one of the things that is abandoned so much by Christians, so-called today, is just the Word of God. Well, they grab hold on and latch on to all kinds of nonsense out there, but just the root of God's word, the truth of it, the pureness of it, the simplicity of it. It's lost. I mean, it's not a hard concept to get, Phil. He blots out the handwriting of ordinance against you. What does that mean? That means there were ordinances against you, you're guilty, and he blots them out. That's what his blood does. That's not a hard concept to get, is it? But why don't we want to latch on to that? It's all pride. It's all pride. You know, the scripture that's been banging around in my head, I want to go to it this morning. It's over Matthew 25. You see how this works, Phil? You see this? You see this doesn't work. This works. See? Working with Phil on mic control. And I know that I'm one to talk because I'm terrible if I'm holding it too. So. All right. So here's a story about some folk that were given something to do, given an opportunity, And a couple of them had the right understanding of their master, and one guy didn't. And we'll see what happens. Verse 15. Verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Okay, were the servants able? Yes, why? Because it says so. He gave unto them, unto what? Their ability. So let's look at the first thing. Does God give you anything to do that you cannot accomplish? No. God is righteous, always. And he is fair, always. He is truth, always. Okay, so the first thing that happens in our minds when we want to say, I can't do it, lie number one. Lie number one. It's not true. It's a lie. You can do it. Why? Because God is righteous. For him to give you something to do that you are unable to accomplish would be what? Unrighteous. Well, God is righteous. Therefore, anything that would tell us otherwise is a lie. So what are you going to do? At that point, you have a decision to make. I will hold on to the lie, or I will hold on to the truth. That's your choice, is it not? It's part of your exercising of your free will to either accept and receive the lie or reject that and walk in faith. Now, it doesn't mean you'll know how to do it. It doesn't mean that you got a manual. It doesn't mean that you got the top 10 checklists or 12-step program. None of that is going to apply if you're walking in faith. It doesn't happen that way. But you know that God is righteous. Amen? Therefore, if he's given you something to do, you are able to do it through him. Now, you won't be able to do it through yourself, as Brad is finding out. And I think anyone that is learning to walk in faith finds that out. That the success in our lives is purely the accomplishment of Christ. Not at all us. It's the way it is. And anytime, if God loves you, anytime you think it's about you, things change rapidly. For grace to you, so that you can know it's about him. Amen? So we know that God gave these guys his goods, this master gave his servants his goods according to each his several abilities. So as they had ability, he gave it to them. Amen? Okay. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. That's called being what? Profitable. See, doing what you're told and stopping, that's not being profitable. See, profit is over and above. See, profit is an increase. John, you run a business, right? If you buy material and you've got material and labor and overhead, that's $100 to make a thing, you don't sell it for $100. That doesn't work, does it? You sell it for $300 because you need to recoup that investment of time, energy, materials. You got to recoup it. So profit is not breaking even, is it? Profit is being profitable. All right, so this guy went out and he just traded with that which he had and he was profitable. Amen? And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained another 2. So there we go. What happens? He went out and became and was profitable. Now let's look at the next guy. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. Let's see what happens here. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou in into the joy of thy Lord. Pretty cool. That's what I want. When I stand before God, I want to hear, enter in thy good and faithful servant. And that it will only be by God's grace that that happens. But that's what I want to hear. Do you want? Is that what you want to hear? Okay. All right. He also that had received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. And the Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Again, he had a little bit. He took what he had, went out with it. The Lord worked with him. I mean, it doesn't say that, but that we know in our lives, that's how it works, right? We go out in faith, we take a step out, and the Lord meets us. Praise God. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. Really? What was his perception of his master? That he was unrighteous. That he was unrighteous. Verse 25, and I was what? Afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thine hast that is thine. What was he afraid of? I wish I could say definitively he was afraid of this, but I'm going to look at my own life. I want you to look at your life. What fear stops you from moving out in faith? What are you afraid of that makes you not want to do what God has asked you to do? What are you afraid of? If God's given you something to do, something to accomplish, something to complete, given you an opportunity to be part of something for him, and you just don't want to fail, is that the fear? I'm afraid to fail? That's pride. There is no good pride. There isn't any. It's all bad. Every bit of it. What is that fear? Because you had, I mean, it says that God, we know God is righteous. He gave them out of their own abilities, right? It doesn't say he ordered them, you better make double. If I come back, you better, by God, have double. Didn't say that, did he? He was pleased that they made double, right? But let's see what the master says here. Verse 25 again, and I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not and gather where I have not strawed. He's not admitting to being unrighteous, by the way. He's just, if that's what you think of me, why didn't you do different? That's the next part here. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming, I should have received mine own with usury. All he had to do was put it in the bank. Wasn't like the master expected some dramatic, massive thing from the guy. Just put it in the bank. Do something. See, I know a lot of people that do nothing out of fear of failure. They do nothing because they might fail. Well, you've already failed. News alert. You've already lost. Rather, go down trying. Right? But here's the beauty. Because we serve an amazing, awesome God, if you step out in faith, if you take that step of faith, guess who's going to meet you? Jesus. I can look through this room and I see miracle after miracle of Jesus meeting people who took a step. Right, Kat? Right, Phil? I mean, I can look out and I can see life after life after life after life after life of people taking a step, terrified terrified. But yet taking the step against that fear and the Lord meeting them and a great deliverance being seen. And growth and profitability to the kingdom of God. I look at Phil. Phil was a hot mess, man. My goodness. You talk about the, when you're looking at, let's see, let's pick somebody that's going to lead a ministry. Phil! It's awesome. He's got a plan, man. He's got it all together. No, he didn't. No, man. Got his girlfriend knocked up. She's got charges pending. Oh, this is a great suggestion. That's the guy we want. That's the one. Let's pick him. No. It's the wrong choice on paper. But that's where God specializes. As long as you're willing, Phil, to take that step, you know God will meet you. It goes for all of us. The Lord's given us all things of our own ability that we are able to have faith in Him to believe for, to walk in. Every one of us. And it's our failure if we don't succeed, not His. He is faithful and He is righteous. I go back. When I feel like I'm getting out of bounds, I go back, and that could be many things for me. It could be a lot of things for me. But I go back, and I remember something we were taught at conference. God didn't bring you here to fail. God didn't give these guys this opportunity to watch them fail. See, if that's your perception of God, you're serving the wrong God. You're serving the wrong guy. You need to change camps because you're in the wrong one. Because Jesus isn't like that. He's gracious. He's loving. He's caring. He's compassionate. He's forgiving. He's merciful. These are all the things of God. And if you're one of His and you're one of His kids and you come to Him and say, Daddy, I'm sorry. Daddy, forgive me. Daddy, I've done wrong. Let me tell you what. You know what He's going to do? He's going to forgive you your sins and He's going to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. How do I know that? The same way I know, Phil, that it says He'll blot out the handwriting of ordinances against you because it's in His Word. It's in His Word. It's not some out there weird concept. It's in His Word. And if it's in His Word, it's in stone. It's good. You can cash that check, man. It's good. If I write you a check, suspect. But if He writes the check, it's absolutely good. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. If He's given you an opportunity, it's because you're able to do it. You hear me? You're able. You may not feel, and I guarantee you, if you feel able, you're looking at the wrong opportunity. Because the ones from God, you don't feel able. But you are able in Him, through Christ, through Jesus. Have faith. Believe. We serve a good God.